Welcome back to the second part of our Disney Pixar media podcast bracket that we got going on. So today we're going to be covering the Pixar side of it. Oh, and I'm getting ahead of myself. I am Derek Mata, as anybody who's been listening knows.
And I am Andrew Goody, and we are proud of you. Normally this is a parenting advice podcast, but today this is part two of our Disney Pixar showdown. To determine what the best animated movie, not the best animated movie, the best animated movie that's on this bracket, because there are some that didn't make it, but we burned a lot of time talking about the Disney side of it, so we had to break it out into a part two to go through the Pixar half. And I think we got a good lineup here. There's some challenging decisions to be made.
Did you write down?
No, I'm gonna grab a post-it note right now and write down my and Derek's final choice in this bracket, because I think I know them just from looking at the movies in the list, but we'll find out.
Okay, I'm gonna write down what I think yours is on this one.
Okay.
I think I know it, just because, like, I feel like I know you quite well. I'm looking at the list.
I felt like I knew you quite well, and then you turn around and tell me things like you've never seen Mulan or Hunchback of Notre Dame, so you're basically a stranger. let's kick it off. Let's get it going. That first slot on the Pixar side, and I'll put the bracket back up on the screen here for our viewers. If you're listening via podcast, sorry, I don't have the means for that. first spot for Pixar, first Toy Story movie versus Brave.
Okay, so like this yesterday, or when we shot the other one, this is what I mentioned, that my wife is like, Brave shits all over Toy Story. But like, because Brave is the first movie, and I got in an argument about it because I thought it was Frozen. Brave is the first movie that she didn't need a man as a princess kind of thing. My wife's a strong, independent woman who don't need no man. I was like, as you're married to me, honey. Like, but Brave was a good movie. I did enjoy the movie. It went a little off the rails with the magical wisps and shit, but I got to give it to Toy Story because, like,
100%, 100% of the way.
I always wish my toys would talk to me or had a life of their own and all that. Like,
no, man, toys. I completely agree with April. Brave is an incredible movie. It's great. It's girl power forward. But Toy Story is Toy Story, man. Like, Buzz Lightyear is an icon. Woody, like, that whole movie, and it set up just years of fandom, right? I mean, they're still making, like, they made Lightyear, what, 2 years ago? And they're still making movies in that franchise, which,
was it
admittedly, just
because
they're still making movies doesn't mean that it's a good thing. But, yeah, Toy Story all the way, no question.
Because everybody, the majority of people grew up with toys. So, like, we can all understand, and, like, we'll get down to the other ones later.
It's relatable. It's funny. There's just enough, like, tension and drama. Sid is genuinely terrifying in that movie. Like, the neighbor kid who just burns and blows up and destroys toys. Like,
and creates weird toys, like the little doll with a claw, like the doll head. Yeah.
So good. So, second piece of that, Toy Story 3 versus Ratatouille.
All right. My issue, I was not a fan of Toy Story 3.
Neither was I. There's a huge cult following for that movie, and I do not care for it. I like the whole, like, toys' existence is to be played with, and they get passed on to another kid. Like, I'm hella pro thrifting, and, like, that's awesome. It just didn't hit home for me.
There was too much going on. And, like, the you know, what's a purple bear's name?
I don't know. Mr. Strawberry or something like that.
Something like that. Like, the only good part of that movie was the very end of it, when you felt like, oh, no, the toys that I've grown up with, I don't know what, the 10 years at that point. I don't know the time difference between 1, 2, and 3. And you feel sad because those are your toys. Like, you relate to these toys. And then because he gives them away at the beginning of the movie, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Okay, so you feel at the very beginning of the movie and you feel at the very end of the movie, but everything in between was weird.
There's this weird element of like the awkward resentment of like Andy giving them away and them ending up in this like pseudo orphanage daycare where like all of the toys have been donated, and like it's a good movie, don't get me wrong. It's a strong entrant in the Toy Story world. Ratatouille is so good, man. Like, as a foodie, as somebody who likes French culture and French music, man, like the Ratatouille soundtrack is like such good. If you just want like good background, like lo-fi to listen to while you're like working or you know, whatever, the Ratatouille soundtrack is great because it's just chill, upbeat French music. It's so good. For so many reasons, Ratatouille wins for me.
And so like what I liked about Ratatouille is he didn't want to follow the crowd. Everybody else was doing rat things. And he's like, I know there's more to life than just what we're doing. And he seeked it out and he made a life for himself. And I love that about that movie. And yes, like the love story between the guy and the like rebel girl, like it didn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but like, just that message of, you know, you don't have to be what everybody else is doing to be successful. I loved that. And then it reminds me of that Facebook meme of the guy invests in this restaurant owned by a rat, but rats have a lifespan of like 2.5 years.
Yeah.
It's like, that's a terrible investment.
No, dude, it's such a good movie. And like, it's a weirdly accurate representation of what like how cuisine kitchen life is like too. Like, the whole scene where I can't remember the girl's name now, you've got me drawing a blank, but when she's like teaching Linguini how to be a chef in this upscale restaurant and like talking about their aprons and their knife work and all this stuff, like it's weirdly insightful to what kitchen life in an upscale kitchen is like in a funny kids movie about a rat, right?
So I mean, I that one we put on because, you know, with the kids we're going through a lot of these movies. We put that one on recently. Kids didn't care for it. That's how I remember the basis of the story.
Yeah.
Also, lady with a shotgun shooting into the ceiling at the very beginning. How many rats are going to live up there before your ceiling caves anyways?
Yeah, man. No, that opening sequence is great. All right. So we're on the same page, 2 for 2.
2 for 2, which is, I mean, I feel like we will relate a lot more on the Pixar side than we will on the
I agree. Disney side. I think Pixar movies have a tendency, like there's a lot of room for subjective. I mean, every taste is subjective, right? So all of this is what I like and what you like. But I think overall, Pixar movies tend to be really, really strong or, you know, pretty weak. And so a lot of these are paired up in that way, right? Like I just didn't really care for Toy Story 3 and I really liked Ratatouille. Spot number 3, Monsters Inc. versus Monsters University. This is a tough one. I've only seen Monsters University, I think, once. I think I saw it when it came out. It's been a long time. I've seen Monsters Inc. a ton. And I love the first one. I'm going to say Monsters Inc. From what I remember of Monsters University, the kind of like goofy college frat games hazing just didn't really land well for me. That culture doesn't land well for me in general, especially in a kids movie. But like Monsters Inc. was so good and it was so creative, and just like this whole idea that there's this world that lives outside of time, connected to kids' closets that runs on kids' screams, and then they find a better way to not have to like poach their power source from kids' nightmares and instead can make them laugh and create joy instead. Like it's such a unique concept and so well executed.
And I feel like Monsters University, they were trying too hard to like keep the franchise alive. Like it was like, hey, here's a prequel to these monsters, but like, was anybody asking for it? No. Like they're just using the name like, hey, quick cash cow right here.
Yeah.
I just wasn't a fan of it myself. So like Monsters Inc. will win this one by a landslide just because of that.
Totally. in my opinion, probably the hardest lineup on this side of the bracket. Spot number four, Wally versus Bug's Life.
Yes. Oh, like
this is, we talked about it. We talked about it in the Disney episode. It's the classic versus the new, right? And I mean, Wally's not new at this point, but you know, generationally speaking, there's like 15 years between those movies. Bug's Life was so good, and Wally is so good, and they're so good in very different ways.
Yes. And like, I feel like A Bug's Life was ahead of its time. Like,
oh, totally.
Like, I want to, I have not watched that in God knows how long, but I want to go back and rewatch it because I know the message that's in the movie. But yeah. Wally also tells a very similar message that's more relevant to our, oh shit, I guess they're both relevant to,
yeah,
to like, it's
really tough. And there, I think this is a really good matchup because they're similar in a lot of ways, but so different. For me, I think I have to go Wally. It's such an interesting movie, and I really love, I'm a big fan of like silent films, and like a lot of like TV shows do like silent episodes and stuff, and they always tend to be my favorites because I think it's really cool when a writing team and a director and, you know, everybody who's I mean, when you're talking about a Disney movie, you're talking about hundreds of people that storyboard these and animate them and put everything together. And when that creative team can tell a really interesting story without using any words, and yes, you're relying solely on the emotional connection, that emotional connection is so much stronger. And so like Wally not talking and like Eva being a mostly non-vocal character and like the whole movie just kind of revolving around the two of them figuring out life from two very different points of views, and then like a weird pseudo love story because it's a Disney movie and everybody has to fall in love with everybody, but like it's so good. And also the love sequence when they're flying through space with the fire extinguisher and there's the super romantic music playing in the background, like hands down best Disney romance scene in history.
And like I don't, like, I know what I want to win, but like I know the good of each individual one, because like, yeah, like you said, like the Wally thing is, it was that emotional connection, like, because they didn't tell you how to feel, you had to take cues from everything else. And I like, I loved that about Wally. Like I remember watching it the first time, never got to finish it, and I was super excited years later to finally sit down and watch it with the children, but in reality I wanted to watch it for myself.
Yeah.
And A Bug's Life, I love the message. It's very, like I said, it's very, very, very relevant.
Yeah, well, and see, for me, I mean, I, rebel that I am, if you will, the anti-consumerism, anti-capitalism undertones, they're not even undertones, it's the least subtle part of the movie in Wally. And it's there a little bit in Bug's Life too, right? It's a little bit more about like the people who are controlling the economy in Bug's Life, where Wally, it's a little bit more direct, like, hey, don't be a lazy fat ass and just consume, ditch this capitalist culture and like work to not just produce junk in the universe until our planet falls apart and we have to leave it because it's completely filled with our trash. Like, that's never not going to be a relevant message to me.
Yeah. So what are you going with? I'm assuming you're going with Wally.
I gotta go Wally. I love Bug's Life. It's such a good movie. It's a classic. It was one of the first, if not the first, I think Toy Story was the first CGI Pixar film, and then Bug's Life was the second. That might be apocryphal, I'm not sure, but it was one of the early ones, and I remember like it kind of pioneered that style of 3D animation. And so it'll always hold a special place in my heart, but not as special as Wally.
I think I'm going to go with Bug's Life on this one.
Yeah.
Like, hold on.
Well, funnily enough, we had to take a break so Derek could go kill a bug.
But then I couldn't find, so you, because I don't think it exists.
So bracket number four on the Pixar side, I'm going Wall-E, you're going Bug's Life.
Final I'm going answer? Bug's Life. That is my
Okay.
final answer.
Okay.
Am I a millionaire now?
No.
Oh, damn it.
Hey, sponsors,
Dude,
make us 100 heirs, please.
give me a dollar. That's all I care about.
All right. Now it's gonna get really interesting. The second half of the bracket. Whew. Coco versus Cars. I think you know where both of us land. You're gonna
Of
say
course.
Coco, and I'm gonna say Cars.
Of course I'm gonna say Coco.
Because you are Coco's dad.
Because I'm Coco's dad. Also, great movie. Never cared for Cars that much. Like Owen Wilson is like David Spade to me. Just kind of like
One of the greatest actors of our time. Yeah, I agree.
not one of them. Yes, I would agree with your statement. And it's just, I don't know, not. And Larry the Cable Guy is Mater, like not a huge Larry the Cable Guy fan. So like the casting was terrible in my own opinion. And then Coco, like it's so much better, just musically finding out who his actual dad is. And I think I can relate to that because like it took me many years to find out who my actual dad was. So and maybe it's a personal thing. That's why maybe I like Coco, and also the whole
Yeah.
the whole fucking Coco's dad thing. I've held on to that the moment I was told that.
Yeah, Coco, and I don't want to sell it short. I land at Cars on this. You said maybe it's a personal thing. These are all personal choices, right? This is
Yeah.
all what I like and what you like. Coco is a fantastic movie. It's great. It's representative. It's a really interesting story. It's really cool, and like they did a good job of representing Disney as a is has been telling European white Germanic stories for a century.
True.
Seeing them do a really solid job of representing another culture and it not being awkward or uncomfortable, right? Like it's so well done. It's such a good movie. The music is phenomenal. Cars just does it for me, man. I don't know what it is. I love Cars. My daughter is on a Cars kick right now and has been for months. I've probably seen that movie 100 times in the last 3 months. Like, it is on repeat in our living room most days. And like, I just love it, man. It's so good. It's so funny. It's this like hero's journey of the arrogant person who's very good finding out that there's more at life than just what they're good at, but also still kicking ass at racing and being the guy who would have come in first, but he chose to give up his Piston Cup to save the legacy of the king. It's such a good story. And I'm a big Americana sucker. So like the fact that it takes place on Route 66 and it's representative of a lot of the like little small towns along Route 66 and the struggles that they've gone through as more practical interstates have or more modern interstates have risen up. It's man, it's such a good film. I will always go to bat for Cars.
And see, like, I can respect that aspect of it. Like, I'm a classic guy. You and I were having this discussion earlier. Route 66 is something I want to drive from the beginning to the end one day in my life. And some classic car, but like I just feel like Cars didn't do it enough for me to be like, oh, I recognize that and I can appreciate that. Like, it was just.
Oh, man, I love it. And it's one of those movies that for me, Cars was phenomenal. Cars 2 was absolute trash. Cars 3 was a solid redemption and was good again. And they've made a million and one mostly Mater-centric because kids love Larry the
Kids
Cable Guy as
love.
much as you and I don't.
Yeah.
But it's just such a good wholesome movie, and it's one that I can watch again and again. And I think as a dad, that's changed my perspective on some of these a lot, right? Is that I don't know that I would have said that Cars is my favorite movie before I had a kid, but now having a Disney kid, right? Like, which wasn't really an option for me. I'm a Disney kid, so she was going to be a Disney kid. Like, which of these movies do I love the most versus which of these movies am I okay to watch twice in a row? is a very different answer, right?
No,
and Cars is one of those, like, it's got a great soundtrack. It's fairly consistent throughout. There are a lot of Disney and Pixar movies that are kind of chaotic and kind of bounce up and down a lot. And like, that's not a good vibe if you just have it on in the background as a dad all the time. You want something that's a little bit more straight across. But yeah, no, I'll go to bat for Cars all day long.
To each their own. Like I can't say you're wrong, but like just not my cup of tea here.
I'm not wrong, but I'm just not
you're
right.
No, you're wrong. I'm
yeah.
Putting my hand down.
All right. Next up, Incredibles versus Inside Out.
I think you and I are gonna say the same thing. Actually, I can't. No. See, you cut me off before I can say anything. I think Incredibles was very action hero-y, while Inside Out told a better story. Like, I found out right before we came in and we started recording this, I found out that there's Inside Out 2 is coming out.
Mm-hmm.
I was excited for it. I was like, hell yeah. If I found out that Incredibles 4...
3?
I thought there was a 3.
I think there's only two.
Okay, if I found out there was another Incredibles, I'm not going to be like, oh, I can't wait to watch that. But like, I saw Inside Out 2 was coming out, and it's like, cool. Like, I really enjoyed that movie. Just like the whole thoughts thing, like how a mind works has always interested me. So like, Inside Out was a great movie, in my opinion. So
I love Inside Out. I was a psych major, so the inner workings of somebody's brain and how people think and regulate their emotions and all that, it's great, and the concept is so good. Incredibles is just such a strong movie for me, man. Like, you're right, it's a very like kind of cliche superhero movie, but I love superhero movies. Like I
do too.
I watch all the Marvel movies. I watch all the DC movies, even though they're terrible. Like, I grew up on comic books. I love it. And Inside Out is, if I take a step back from just raw enjoyment and we talk about like quality of storytelling and the journey and all of the pieces that make up a good, like good character development, Inside Out is probably a better movie, but I like Incredibles more than I like Inside Out.
Just Incredibles to me is like I said, straight entertainment. Like,
oh, you mean like a movie that's really enjoyable to watch?
Like, well, no, because you, I mean, obviously, yes, that's a fucking movie. Thank you. But I'm just saying,
like straight. You just said that movie was straight entertainment, like it was a bad thing.
Well, no, because like you go like comparing straight entertainment, but I didn't see any underlying anything to it. Versus, obviously, Inside Out is also entertainment, but then it had the whole aspect of moving and then how each person's emotions worked and how memories fade in time, kind of thing. And like,
well, I mean, that's true, and it. The I think there was a lot more obvious and simultaneously deeper character growth and meaning in Inside Out, but The Incredibles is something that I can hard relate to because it's the story of a dad trying to figure out what his place in the world is and not just relive his glory days of before he had a wife and kids and was a superhero and is now struggling to figure out how to include his family in something that he loves while still being a part of his family and not just being the distant bureaucratic businessman that he is in the beginning of the movie. I think that hero's journey is something that I'm on right now. And so it's really relatable to me. I think when I was a kid, I liked it because it was a straight raw superhero movie, right? Like, superheroes were cool. I like superheroes, into it. And now it's a more relatable story that I, you know, like I said, I'm on that journey of figuring out how to include my kids in my superhero escapades. You know, the thing that I love, the thing that I want to do, and be present in their lives without, you know, while still providing for them, right? Because that's also an aspect of it.
And that might be the issue here, and why I'm pulling so hard towards Inside Out is when I first saw Incredibles, it was before any of it actually mattered. Like, the dad role was never one I was like, I understand that. And so it makes sense. Like, am I going to change my vote on this one? No, but like, you do have a really good argument, especially the whole basis of this podcast is dads and how we're going to make it in the fucking world. Like, I get it. I get it. And maybe I need to go rewatch it now and see it from the eyes of dad and go from there.
I think it'll change your perspective. I don't know when the last time you watched it was. And again, I'm not trying to sell you. If you like Inside Out, that is completely respectable. I love Inside Out, and I think arguably it might be a better movie. I just love The Incredibles, and I relate hard to Bob Parr. So, moving on, Up versus Toy Story 2.
Toy Story 2 is what, the one that he gets kidnapped by the toy guy.
And it's when Jesse and Bullseye are introduced, and the old prospector who's trying to keep them together and as a collection.
So this one is going to go based solely on just like my enjoyment of the movie. Like, no meanings, no nothing. Like, we recently put Up on TV, and after it got past the very beginning of the movie, just like it was outrageous to me. Didn't care for Up the first time I watched it. Didn't care for Up, what, last week, 2 weeks ago when we put it on TV. Toy Story 2 takes it, like, and for me, because it was still just like, it's still that nostalgia for me, like.
I think so. To take the reverse perspective of what I said about Incredibles versus Inside Out, I think I have to go Toy Story 2 as well. I think Up is probably a better movie. Like, I think there's a the storytelling and the for and you know maybe you know I said that I relate to The Incredibles because I'm on that journey of figuring out how to be a dad and keep my kids included. Maybe there's no chance that I outlive my wife, but if God forbid I do, maybe after my spouse passes away, I'll have that journey of like, what do I do? How do I find purpose? How do I carry our goals without her? And I'm sure that's really impactful for some people, but I think it just kind of missed the mark for me. I think it's really good, and I really like the there's a lot of messages in Up. And I like all of them. I think it's a really great movie. And Toy Story 2 is just so much better, man. It's so Toy Story 2 is that and I'm gonna upset some people here. The original Star Wars trilogy is the best Star Wars trilogy, but I love Phantom Menace because Phantom Menace Episode 1, the worst Star Wars movie, was made for me. I was the age that they were targeting when that movie came out. And so I loved the pod racing. I loved the Jar Jar Binks. I loved that movie when it came out. It was my jam. I watched it until the tape burned out. And like Toy Story 2, because I liked Toy Story 1 so much, and Toy Story 2 just like pandered to that, right? Like the beginning of Toy Story 2, they're playing a Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger game that I would die to play in real life. Like it was, I think I was the perfect demographic for that movie when it came out. I do think it's interesting, this pairing of Up and Toy Story 2 are probably the two Pixar movies that people talk about crying in. Because the whole opening scene of Up when
Yes,
Ellie passes away,
the first 15 minutes of Up, the only good part of Up.
dude, and then When Somebody Loved Me, when Jessie is talking about how she was abandoned by her first, like her child, like I still like in my 30s cry at that scene. Like, and so I think it's interesting that these two ended up on the bracket where they are, but yeah, no, I have to agree. I think Toy Story 2 has to take this one. It's a tough choice. I think both of these, Inside Out versus Incredibles and Up versus Toy Story 2, are both really close race for me.
I mean, it was good, solid picks, definitely on those ones.
Now, what I think is going to be a runaway, the last bracket, Finding Nemo versus Finding Dory.
I'm going to be the bad guy on this one. Never saw Finding Dory because when Finding Nemo came out, every single teacher played this movie all the time. So instead of, you know, oh, movie day, but when every teacher at least once a week is playing Finding Nemo, I couldn't do it anymore. Like, I want to punch Nemo in the face so hard. I can't do either of these, but because I haven't seen Finding Dory, obviously Finding Nemo wins this one, but it's definitely not going any further than this.
Yeah. Finding Nemo is a great movie, but you're right. This goes back to what I was saying about the ability to watch Cars on repeat, right? I get burnt out on Finding Nemo. Like, I can't. It's one of my wife's like comfort movies that she can watch to like fall asleep or when she needs to like ground herself or whatever. It just does not do it for me, man. Because like you said, when it first came out, I watched it so many times that I just can't. And there's a handful of movies like Frozen was that way, right? Where like they come out and they just get burnt out because they're everywhere constantly all of the time. That being said, I just didn't enjoy Finding Dory. I thought it was like Finding Nemo was a pretty good encapsulated movie. They didn't need to do another one. And they did it because Disney likes making money.
Yeah.
And as most Disney sequels end up being, it was just not a good movie. I didn't like it.
It was just another one of those.
I say 2 seconds after talking about crying through Toy Story 2 and how wonderful of a film it is.
I mean, so there are some movies that obviously are huge hits. Like, yes, yeah. Toy Story 2, fantastic. But then, yeah, sometimes you don't need another one.
Yeah, no, I agree. All right, so that's our outside bracket. Down to the semifinals. So first bracket, we've got Toy Story. It was Toy Story versus Ratatouille. We were both on the same page with both of these.
Yep.
I've got to give this one to Ratatouille for all the reasons that I said I like Ratatouille to begin with. It's a tough choice because Toy Story is a really good film, in my opinion. But Ratatouille takes the cake. No pun intended.
I'll give you that one. I'll give you that one. No, I'm going with Toy Story. Just nostalgia. Just I sit there and I watch Toy Story, especially with my kids. Like when we put Toy Story on, like I think it was last month, like they just... they forgot about everything else in the world and they were boom. And it just like, it made me and my wife just super happy that like they loved watching the movie as much as we loved watching the movie. So that's why Toy Story's got this one for me.
All right. I can respect that. So next bracket, Monsters Inc. for both of us. For you, it's Monsters Inc. v. Bugs Life. For me, it's Monsters Inc. v. WALL-E. I think both of us are going to go Monsters, Inc., right?
Definitely not. Bugs Life, all the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Bugs Life over Monsters, Inc.? Okay.
Yeah, was not a huge Monsters, Inc. fan to begin with. But when you compare the two, like Monsters, Inc. was better than Monsters University. But Bugs Life just takes it all day.
I can respect that. For me, I've got to go Monsters, Inc. Monsters, Inc. versus WALL-E, Monsters, Inc., for sure. All right. This one, I think we're on the opposite sides of the bracket. So for you, it's Coco versus Inside Out. For me, it's Cars versus Incredibles. I'm going to go Cars for all the reasons that I said before. I will always go to bat for Cars.
I'm going Coco on that one.
Yeah.
About for the same reason as it beat Cars to begin with.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So then next bracket is Toy Story 2 versus Finding Nemo. It's going to be Toy Story 2.
That's
right?
Toy, yeah.
Like,
no, we both, no
we
contest.
Both just said, like, no question. All right. All right. Last, I guess not last, but coming down here. So you're at Toy Story versus Bug's Life. Oof.
Yeah, that's
what a
hard
choice
one.
You've made for yourself, like, my friend.
Like these last two brackets are difficult. Oh man.
I'm Ratatouille versus Monsters, Inc., and that's a no-brainer for me, Ratatouille all the way. But man, even if I was in your shoes, I'm glad I'm not in your shoes. Toy Story v. Bug's Life is.
And see, I think I'm gonna have to break it down like Disney side of it. I think it comes down to the message that's being told. And I think Bug's Life takes it over Toy Story.
Okay.
Because like to this day, and like I said, I haven't seen Bug's Life in probably, I don't know, 10, shit, I'm fucking 34 years old. Like what, 10, 15 years at this point? Like,
yeah.
And I still like it, the message has resonated with me for
you
this
still
long.
Carry that with you.
Yeah, like and like so yeah, Bug's Life takes that one.
All right. I think this one's gonna be an easy one for both of us too. Coco versus Toy Story 2 for you.
Oh, you're waiting for my answer?
Yeah. Mine's Cars versus Toy Story 2, which I think you know how that one's gonna play out.
Obviously Toy Story 2, because that's the better movie.
Obviously Cars.
Obviously.
Such a better film. Such a better movie for so many reasons.
I think Coco is gonna beat Toy Story 2 for the same reason Bug's Life beat Toy Story.
Yeah. The message behind it.
The message behind it. And then
so final bracket, Derek. Coco versus Bug's Life. Which message do you believe in more?
and this, like I said, this exactly like what I just said.
Yeah,
goes down to the finals on this one. We're thinking big term versus individual, and Bug's Life has to take it for
really
for big. Yeah, for big message because,
and
yes, I mean it is. This is a coin flip because. And I don't want to say like I relate to Coco, but like I relate to Coco so much more. But like as an adult in a current society that we live in, like Bug's Life just like speaks volumes to this day. Without going into all the political things, you know.
Yeah, no. I'll give it to you.
So
I'm surprised, but I respect it.
You thought Coco was gonna win this all, didn't you?
I did. It was on my Coco. Coco is your final. For me, it comes down to Ratatouille v Cars, which is tough. Those are probably my two favorite Pixar movies, and if I had written both of them down on the post-it note, I could have told you it would come down to these two. But I go Cars, man. I think I don't know when this shift happened, but I think Cars is probably my favorite Pixar movie.
I might have to rewatch Cars now. Like, well, I want to know what the hell I'm missing.
I mean, they built a whole land for it in California Adventures in Disneyland. Like, Cars is iconic, man. It's so good. It's such a great movie. I will watch Cars any day of the week, and frankly, with the phase my daughter's in right now, I do watch Cars every day of the week. maybe it's getting some extra points because. But honestly, I think that speaks even more volumes that I'm still enjoying this movie, on the no joke probably triple digits watch at this point. Like, I've seen that movie too many times, and I still would rather put it on than just about anything else on this list.
See, like, maybe, I mean, my kids aren't TV kids. Like I said, they're music video kids. They're music kids.
Yeah.
They'd rather sit there and listen to something and dance. So, like, if I put something on, it's with the intentions of the children, but it's more for me. So, like, maybe I throw Cars on and just see, like I said, what am I missing here at this point? I saw Cars once, pretty much around when it first came out.
You're a car guy. How did you not like it?
I'm a car guy when it comes to building cars. I'm not a NASCAR guy.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, man. It's still that there's so many, and I think the thing that I really like about Cars, and Disney does this in a lot of, and Disney Pixar, same.
Yeah.
They do this in a lot of their movies, but the just like subtle puns and like low, like things that kids miss, not in like weird innuendo ways, which Disney does a lot too, but like there are just some references to like car parts and like race nomenclature and stuff. It's I don't know, it's so funny to me. And like I don't know, man. It's such a good movie. I love it. I will always go to bat for Cars.
I'll rewatch it maybe this weekend. Maybe. I don't know what's planned this weekend.
You probably can't see this. I had Cars for me and Coco for you.
Okay, all right.
So now
I wrote down what I thought you would do, because like I thought I knew you. I thought you were going
really?
Up.
Really?
Yeah, I thought Up was gonna win it for you, because the whole opening scene, for one, and the imagination, and like you being a Disney person, like you have that imagination that he carried with him, and I just like, this is Goody through and through.
I mean, I will say I have a literal Paradise Falls jar in my hallway with all of our loose change and random savings and crap in it that like has the Paradise Falls sign on it, and Adventure Is Out There is definitely like big Goody energy. But as far as an overall movie, Up kind of falls flat for me, man. Like it's good. Don't get me wrong. It's a great movie, but there's a lot going on in like a weird, like, I don't know if you've seen Strange World. It's one of the newer, it's not the newest, but it's one of the newer Disney movies that just came out recently in the last
I could year get so. That one was so fucking weird that I just could not do it.
I love it. It's buck wild. It's so weird. But like, it's this, that movie and Up have this same, like, they're playing very heavily off of like the Land That Time Forgot, I don't know, vibe, if you will. And the way that Up did it was just so weird that it was just this like, yeah, there's this whole other world that exists in South America. Like, one, hey guys, South America's a place. There are people that live there. Like, it's not some mysterious, crazy.
No, it's so totally.
That's what I said. That's what I said about Coco, right? Like, that's the other side of that coin. But like, it was just so weird that it was just this, like, oh, we floated over some random divider at the equator, apparently, and now we're in this place that other explorers have crash landed and can't get out of, and there's dodo birds and like all the just wild. I don't know, man. It's a good movie. It's a funny movie. It is not my favorite Pixar film, for sure.
So, because if you look at the bracket,
yeah,
there is that middle line.
Yep. We gotta go finals. So what's yours? You have yours written down, right?
Mine are written down. So all these black marks are me making marks with this pen that's in my hand. So
yeah. So what's got, what was this
it's your Moana. Final
for Moana versus Bug's Life.
Versus Bug's Life. And you know, I just,
that's some big storytelling there, man.
It's huge. Huge, but I think I relate more closely to a Bug's Life, a story they tell, than to the story told in Moana.
Nice.
So I think Bug's Life takes it for me.
Bug's Life takes the bracket.
Bug's Life takes the bracket for me.
Man, mine comes down to Emperor's New Groove versus Cars, which is a challenge. That is a tough I think, hold on, Emperor's New Groove versus Cars is just Joe Dirt. That's David Spade and a big old Superbird.
Great movie. I need to watch it again. If only it was streaming somewhere that it was for free.
I think I've got to go Emperor's New Groove, man. Despite me saying this entire episode that I will always go to bat for Cars, I quote Emperor's New Groove probably 10 times a day. It is one of my favorite movies. I've seen it. It was like my sister and I's favorite Disney movie, and it's one of my wife and I's favorite Disney movies. So there's this like thread of universality that it's been like good times with people I love throughout my entire life.
I
think I gotta go Emperor's New Groove, man.
I mean, that makes sense. It's funny though, because I was actually quoting it yesterday, maybe two days ago. I mean, it just occurred to me. So like, I get it. It has all the elements that make a good movie.
I think it's strong. I know you hate David Spade for no apparent reason.
It's just watch annoying this be to
the,
me.
This be the episode where we find out that David Spade is a loving father and used to listen to this podcast until we started talking about him. Because
I would be really surprised if David Spade, if David Spade was like, man, I found this really new, this really cool new podcast with two random guys. So like the whole thing of this, the whole bracket was media. It was kids watching. There's so many things out there, like, and it's hard to find good things anymore. And you know, there's that argument, and I've heard it many times that like, obviously older Disney has better movies because the messages were more open.
A lot of Disney, there's a threshold there, right? Because like Peter Pan's my boy, and I love Peter Pan. It's Peter Pan is my spirit animal. I love the original J.M. Barrie novel. I could go down a whole slope here. And also the original Disney Peter Pan is horribly, horribly xenophobic. It's terrible representation of Native Americans. It's god-awful representation of women and their body issues and
see you already right above mine.
Like that movie, I love Peter Pan to death. It does not hold up like in a modern world where you are educated and you know better, so you do better. It is not spirit of Peter Pan holds up, but the movie itself has so many problematic issues.
And that might be where I'm kind of ignorant in this, and I'll admit to it, because we grew up with these movies and watch them with child eyes. Now, when we have things like, and one of the big things, because I wanted to watch it with the kids, Elemental, I guess there's a lot of stuff that people don't agree with. I don't know. You know, the fire and water.
Oh, I love it. I've seen it. I think it's great. It's see it being controversial. We won't go down that.
That's
a slippery slope into a very different podcast. But I can see where people would, and I mean, people will always in the modern world, people will always find something to dislike about something,
and,
right?
And that's what I was
easier to complain than it is to enjoy.
Yeah, and that's what I was gonna get at. It's like, well, yes, those messages may or may not be there. Like, and when you're watching a movie with your kids, watch it for the movie itself. Yes, there will be messages there. Are they intentional? They might not be, but you know, you're more likely to find something when you're looking for it than when you're not.
Yeah.
I think there's
two sides to that, right? Because I think it's important to keep tabs on what your kids are ingesting, right? Because your kids absorb everything. And so if there is some uncomfortable subtext or some themes that don't hold up in some older Disney movies or some themes that you disagree with in modern Disney movies, I'm not here to tell you that you have to agree with everything the Walt Disney Company says is right in the world. I certainly don't. Knowing that and understanding that and seeing that and observing it gives you the opportunity to talk to your kids about those things.
Yes, exactly.
And like, my daughter has not seen Peter Pan yet, but when she does, I mean, she has, but like,
she hasn't without an understanding.
Yeah, exactly. It's just shiny colors on the screen. Frankly, I think I put it on mostly when she was like super young. She was like 6 months old and I was like rocking her to sleep and wanted something as background, which again was more for me than it was for her because she just saw high contrast colors on a screen. When we watch that movie, we're going to have conversations about the fact that like Tinkerbell, a like perfect hourglass, tiny waist, ballerina-esque figure has body dysmorphia issues that are addressed throughout the movie as her just not being pretty enough. And like, she literally tries to kill Wendy because she's jealous of Peter Pan finding Wendy attractive. And the mermaids try to drown Wendy because she's pretty. those are themes that I'm going to talk to my daughter about how fucked up they are and how wrong they are.
I watched a completely different Peter Pan than you. What the
It's the difference between watching with kids' eyes and going back and seeing.
And that's the thing is like, yes, I watched it when I was a small child.
Yeah. I mean, Beauty and the Beast is all about Stockholm Syndrome. A dude locks a girl in his castle and then she falls in love with him. Like, if you watch that movie from a certain point of view, Gaston is a good guy because he's rescuing the girl some dude kidnapped. Like, it's all perspective. Point being, it's important to see those things, right? As a dad, you shouldn't overlook those, but they're Disney movies, man. Don't take yourself too seriously. Don't make your media too intense. And we'll have a whole nother episode about screen time, because that's a whole other conversation. We'll probably have an episode about kids media in general, right? Because we're talking about these kids shows. You know, there are some people whose kids, like Derek's kids, don't watch nearly as many Disney movies as my daughter does. And that's partially their, like, you know, Derek, you are not as much of a child as I am, or at least not a Disney kid.
No, you got it right the first time.
you're not as much of a child as I am. And also just because of that, your kids haven't had that interest. And so, you know, your kids watch more like music videos and dance and that kind of stuff. My daughter watches a lot of the stuff that I watch too, right? Like, and we'll probably have an episode about like kids watching media that is intended for more mature audiences, right? My daughter has seen Terminator, and there are a lot of people who would tell you that I shouldn't let my 18-month-old daughter watch an R-rated movie. And yeah, we'll talk about that too, because
My oldest daughter, when she was about 6 months old, watched Godfather with me. So I get it.
a good friend of ours in the neighborhood, their son, when he was born, his like bedtime movie was the Lord of the Rings trilogy. They would put on Fellowship and just watch it until he fell asleep, and then they'd pause it and watch something else. And then the next time that he went down for a nap or whatever, he'd ask for Rings movie, and they'd put on like wherever they were, and they just watched. And I was like,
respectful.
as somebody who watched Frozen 2 147 times, I would love to just watch the extended edition Lord of the Rings trilogy instead, man. Let me tell you how good that sounds.
Yeah.
But yeah, the whole point of this was to kind of lightly touch on the concept of media, and also to remind everybody out there, all of the dads who are listening, to just have fun.
Yes. Please let your kids together. Watch some movies.
Yeah, watch movies print with out your this children. Bracket. Like, we'll tweet this, print out this bracket, or like send it to your buddies and like fight with your dad friends about this, right? Like, have a good time. The way that Derek and I have spent now 2 days talking about our favorite Disney Pixar show down here. Because it's important to just kick back and watch a goofy movie that doesn't teach you anything or expand your brain, or you don't always have to be learning something. I'm a guy, I live on audiobooks and podcasts, and I always want to be ingesting knowledge. I always want to be learning and growing, and that's important. But like, go watch Guardians of the Galaxy, go watch Coco, go watch something just mindless that you can enjoy and have a good time with your kids.
Yeah, that's right. And then let us know, like we mentioned in the last episode, let us know where we're wrong. I mean, I'm right and everybody else is wrong, but like, let us know how Goody is wrong in his choices of Cars being one of the top contenders.
It says A Bug's Life as your overall on the bracket.
Bug's Life is just you and I will go into this conversation.
I think the homework for this episode is you need to go like sometime this weekend. You need to go watch Cars, and I need to go watch A Bug's Life, because it's been probably a decade since I've seen A Bug's Life,
and probably since I've seen Cars.
Yeah. So. Which is great homework for you dads out there too. Go pick an obscure movie on this list that you haven't seen in ages and watch it with your kid or with your wife or both.
Or just by yourself. Like, you know what? I've got nothing going on. Put the damn movie on, crack open a beer, pour yourself a a fancy drink like what Goody has for those of you who actually watched YouTube. Those who are on podcasts, he's drinking dehydrated oranges and an old, was that an old fashioned?
Oh, yes, I'm drinking dehydrated oranges.
What is that, an old fashioned?
Yeah, it's more complicated than that, but yeah.
Oh, see like, some of us are just cracking open a look at this fancy can, a sour over here, while you've got your overcomplicated
just old hang fashion. Out with your bluey cup of water and enjoy
whatever you want to do.
A nice non-alcoholic, because like, sometimes that's important too, Dad.
Jump on our Twitter, choose one of these movies and just watch it however you want to watch it, by yourself, with your kid, with your significant other, your whole family. Just do it. For one, it'll bring everybody closer if it's a family thing. Like,
yeah. For sure. Have a good time. And tell us, like Derek said, tell us where we're wrong. Tell us what you or tell us your favorite Disney or Pixar movie that didn't make this list. We didn't make this bracket, to be clear. But tell us what movie you missed on here that you really enjoy.
I got one just because we just finished it tonight. Onward.
Onward is great.
Onward is a fantastic movie.
There are a lot of movies that didn't make this bracket. Brother Bear isn't on here. That's an excellent movie. I'm not gonna run through. There's a ton. Yeah. There are not, this is not the full catalog of Disney movies. This is a funny bracket that we found and thought would be good content.
Yeah.
Also, let us know if this was bad content, because maybe we'll do more silly episodes like this, and maybe you want to hear more serious stuff. Tell us what to talk about, because we're just two dads trying to figure out what the fuck we're doing in life and keep our kids alive.
That's right.
All right. Well, on that note, thank you guys so much for watching. If you're watching this on YouTube, comment down below. If you're listening to this as a podcast, email us at proudofyoudads@gmail.com. Like, follow, subscribe, turn on your notifications, do all those good things. It helps us out. It helps us spread the word. We are at proudofyoudads on Instagram and Twitter. Follow us, tweet at us, share our Instagram page. We really want to get the word out, and we're not, you know, we joke about sponsorships. We're not trying to get rich off of this project. No, we're trying to help dads like us who don't know what we're doing and have learned some things, but just feel unseen or alone or unsupported. We're trying to build a community of dads to help lift each other up and support each other, because that's important. It takes a village of dads to be a dad.
That's right.
So thanks for joining us. I'm Andrew Goody.
And I'm Derek Mata.
And we are proud of you.